Welcome back to Your Ball Was Out podcast presented by Phil from Tweener Head Tennis. Now, today we have a very special interview with Pete, head coach Pete from Nebraska University of Lincoln. Today we are very excited to have such a prestigious coach join us today who helped Kentucky reach a national championship final, was the volunteer assistant there for a couple of years, was the assistant coach here at Nebraska, made his way to interim head coach, and now has been the official head coach of the Cornhuskers for some time. So we got to talk to him about his process, what it's like becoming a head coach of a power Big Ten school, and so much more. But before you guys enjoy this interview with Coach Pete, make sure to check out the sponsor of today's podcast, the Universal Tennis Power Subscription. Not only do you get to see a more detailed number to see where you stack up against your opponents and other players on the UTR Sports website, but you also get power perks. Includes 30% off Tennis Warehouse, 30% off Total Pickleball, 35% off the UTR Shop, 25% off Diadem, $30 off Whoop, and 20% off Print, and so much more. Make sure to check out the link in the description.
Peter, thank you so much for having me. I am currently at Nebraska with Peter, and this place is phenomenal. So thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming.
Of course, it's on every day. This is our third Big Ten team visiting, but there's something special about Lincoln, and we're very excited to be here.
Well, thanks for coming. Obviously, it's been nice having you here the past day and a half.
Yeah,
Lincoln is a special place, and I think I think we're evolving as a program, and it's cool that you get a chance to come and kind of see everything that we're doing. So
it's Lincoln special, but let's start with you. Your dad, tennis coach, your sister, now the assistant here at Nebraska as well. So we have two of you here.
Yep.
Let's start with you because you played at Ohio State. You grew up playing tennis. Talk about how you got into this space specifically. Let's start with that.
Yeah, so my dad's a tennis coach, mm-hmm. And my mom's a doctor, nurse. So I went to the hospital once as a child, and I said, "I'll just go to work with dad for the rest, it's pretty easy for me."
Good.
One day in the hospital was enough.
Okay.
I love tennis growing up. I played all kinds of sports. I played a lot of basketball, baseball, played mm-hmm. some golf too. But tennis kind of really stuck, and yeah, I mean, I was able to use it as a platform to get where I am today. And, mm-hmm. Having my sister here too, Maddie,
yeah,
on the women's staff is really cool. In the United States, it's so easy to, spread your wings and
yeah.
go wherever you get a job, wherever, and to be able to have immediate family, in the same town as you.
Yeah.
In the same building that we're in,
literally, as you. Literally two doors down through the back hallway. It's Peter, Maddie, and then the head coach for the women's team.
It's really nice. It's yeah. really nice to have family around. It makes it nice for when my family comes in town too. They can two birds with one stone.
Yeah, so. that's awesome. And for you too, what was it like growing up around your dad being a tennis coach? And he was obviously your first coach, correct?
Yes, he was.
And what was that like as a junior that committed to Ohio State?
Yeah, so positives and negatives.
like any parent-child relationship sure. in tennis,
yeah, that's, no,
it's common.
100%, yeah. So a lot of tennis talks at breakfast, lunch, and dinners, car ride home.
Can never skip it.
Yeah, so that was some of the tough part, but also it was, as I've gotten older, you realize how expensive tennis is. You realize how much, not only my dad, but also my mom gave up for, mm-hmm. for not just me, but the whole family to play tennis, my brother mm-hmm. and my sister. So, once you take a step back, I think as when you're a kid, you don't really know because you just, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
But I learned a ton from my dad. My dad spent a ton of time learning from other pros, and he did a great job not just with me, but with a lot of other players that he worked with. So I still call him and ask him for advice.
Today. Okay, that's so good.
Maybe more than I did when I was a kid even.
Oh, that's...
but
that's... Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I he's been a huge impact in not just my playing career, but also as a coach. So.
And for you, was it always tough to have that player? Because this is always a question that I feel like I have to ask either former players or they've worked with their parents. Was it hard to keep that balance from player coach to father son?
No, I think my dad did a good job with it.
Okay.
And he also, what my parents did, I felt like they did a really good job with, was letting me do other things too.
Okay,
they
good.
They let me play basketball all the way through high school.
Awesome.
They let me play baseball. They encouraged me to do those things and figure out what I really like to do. And
yeah.
And at the end of the day, I made my way all the way back to tennis. And then, yeah, like you said in the previous statement, that I ended up committing to Ohio State, which was... Mm. And from a kid from Columbus, Ohio, is a dream come true.
It's so. A dream come true. So now you're getting recruited. You commit to Ohio State. Walk us through that process.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, it was great. Obviously, I watched Buckeye everything growing up, Ohio State football, Ohio State basketball. And to receive a scholarship to go to Ohio State to play tennis was like a pinch me moment for sure. Mm-hmm. I learned really quickly. It was a different type of tennis once I got there. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't ready to play when I got there. And I think the way that Ty and Justin have things set up there, they get you ready over time, as good or better than everyone else in the country. And that was definitely what happened to me. So it took me a few years to figure it out there. I had to do some maturing and some growing up. They pushed me every day, and I think that's a big reason why I had such a great career there. So, and
you were number one in the country, weren't you?
Number one in singles, number two in doubles.
And so. What was that? Did that add any pressure to you? Was that like all the hard work paid off, or was that just the beginning for you?
No, it happened pretty quick. It happened over the course of just one fall, really. And then, yeah, I mean, I think after that happened, I viewed tennis maybe a little bit differently in my mind after that. I was like, okay, like maybe I can be a professional tennis player. Maybe I can do some of these things that I never really put a ton of mental thought into.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, I was like, okay, like I always thought I was good. And then once you kind of see the rankings and sometimes you see those results and you're like, okay, yeah, I can do this. So
it kind of satisfies that, like it fulfills that idea of like, I have what it takes to take that next step.
Sure. I would, yeah, I mean, for sure. And then to do it at a place like Ohio State, obviously they're extremely successful year after year after year, you know, winning the Big Ten, I think now 18 years in a row. To be playing the number one and number two spots there.
Yeah.
When, you know, your last couple of years, you know, you're going to be put in a position to do well once you leave.
And talking about Ty and your relationship with him, you went from being a player for him to being a coach at a program in the same conference. That's full circle moment right here. And what did Ty teach you as a player, and what did he teach you as a coach? Because I feel like it's now two different spheres that you're in.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. I know Ty's working as hard as he's ever worked, and he's one of the hardest working coaches in the country. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned as a player right away. I learned this. They work hard at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And as a coach, it's the same way. It all starts from the top. Mm-hmm. I think the head coach sets the tone for the whole program. And that's what I'm trying to instill here in my own way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously you take things from everyone that you've worked with, all the coaches that have coached you, mm-hmm. all the coaches that you've worked with, on my journey to where I am now. Mm-hmm. You take bits and pieces from everyone, the parts that you like the most, and you kind of make it yours, and you kind of mush it all together and see if it works.
So yeah, that's true.
I would say we're in that phase. I think we're doing a lot of things really well here.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is stuff that I've learned over the course of my time, starting at Ohio State and then moving my way up through the pro world and into my college coaching days at Kentucky. So
it's in going from Ohio State to going pro. What was it like being a pro and kind of seeing that life after kind of having everything at Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for sure. It's It's a different type of competitive. You know, you're playing against guys that are trying to feed their families. Yeah. You know, this is a job for them. You know, there's people counting on them to do well. It's a different world. You're playing against grown men from all over the world, mm-hmm. the most talented juniors in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's different. You're by yourself. You're alone. You're traveling the world. You're trying to figure it all out. You know, you're trying to make money work, trying to figure out how to get better. So there's a lot to think about. College, you really just kind of show up to practice and you work your tail off and you try and get better. And, you know, you go back to your apartment or you go to class and you move on. But, yeah, two totally different worlds. But I think college tennis prepares you mentally very well for the tour. I think the competitive side of college tennis really prepares you. I think the pressure on a day-to-day basis in college tennis is much higher than in the pro tour in my experience. You know, I think there's maybe a couple of times where I felt like the pro tour was that was a little bit different. But in general, college tennis prepares you so well mentally for the pro tour. And I think that's why you're starting to see a lot of these college graduates going out and doing so well, you know, singles and doubles.
Yeah. And what made you have that decision, or what was that point where you said, okay, I need to stop playing on the tour and find something else and start getting into coaching?
Yeah, I think I got a little lucky. I think tennis is a sport that's hard to quit because you feel like you're always just around the corner. Mm-hmm. But I kind of stopped right when COVID hit, so that I think that helped me a little bit.
Okay.
But I was pretty banged up. I was dealing with some injuries and money was becoming a little bit of an issue, and I just found myself kind of cutting some corners with some of the things that you just can't cut corners with, and I was just like, hey, like, you know, I gotta figure out something else I gotta do. So that's kind of when Cedric Kaufman called at Kentucky and offered me the volunteer spot down there, and I was like, hey, you know, that's way better than teaching the 3-5 ladies here with my dad at the local club. So
fair. That's definitely a different energy and vibe around ladies country club tennis and
I mean,
guys that are competing to play on the pro tour. Very different. Very, very different.
Yes.
Because if we look at your time at Kentucky, that's where Peter and I first connected when I did my visit there with Cedric and Matt, and Peter was the volunteer assistant coach. It was the year right before they made the NCAA team finals. And while I was there, I got to experience a special program, special guys, the year that Draxel, Diallo, Lapidat, so many others that you could probably name more than I can as of this moment. But what was your first impressions of coaching when you first came to Kentucky?
Yeah, I was, so obviously Cedric invited me on the team. I didn't know Matt Gordon at all when I first got there, but we really hit it off right away. And we had a really good, we worked very well together. Cedric was really good at a few things. Matt was really good at a few things. I brought some value here and a few other things that I think they took. They may have took to learn something from me too. So, but what was great was Cedric kind of really let me come in and coach. You know, one of the first guys he asked me to work with was Diallo. He was this tall, skinny kid. His hair was going everywhere. He's like, go help that guy. And I was like, all right, sounds good to me. But
you see that kid? He's yours.
But obviously, yeah, when my time at Ohio State, it was done one way, and at Kentucky, it's done a whole different way, but they're both extremely successful programs.
Yeah.
And I think it was great for me to see another locker room, see how things are done, not just in a different school, but also a different conference, going through the SEC for 2 years, learning how difficult that conference is, coming back to the Big Ten now as a head coach and understanding how they both work hand in hand and kind of navigating things from a head coaching's position now. But I mean, I still talk to Cedric, you know, once every other week, once a week. I talk to Matt a couple times a week. Like those guys, I ask a lot of questions that help mentor me throughout the whole process. But I learned a ton at Kentucky for sure.
And was it intimidating to have, or were you very nervous with having that much freedom and with players and kind of being treated as a really a second assistant, because volunteer assistants, with that process, you have the ability to coach, but having the freedom to coach is very different.
Sure. I think the part that struck me the most was I had never really coached anyone where, like, the player really was buying into everything that I was saying, like the guys were at Kentucky, like Draxel and Diallo and Musatelli and Hurrian and Lapidat.
Yeah.
They were all very good, like, listeners, and they genuinely listened to the coaching that I gave them. So it made me come, when I did coach them, it made me be a better coach.
Okay.
Because everything I said to them, they legitimately tried to do the best they could.
Exactly.
And I also think that's why that team was so good too. They were great workers. They all love tennis. Obviously, they're all of them are still playing professional tennis right now. A few of them are doing amazing, but they all really bought in. They're all really good friends. They all loved Kentucky, but they worked really hard, and they all came together and they all wanted to be great. So it just taught me right away. I'm like, whoa, everything I say to these guys, they're going to try and do their best. So what I say to them really matters.
So if we talk about that NCAA finals for you as a player and coach, seeing that kind of locker room, those personalities working together collectively, what made that locker room special to you, or what made that season special? Besides take the results out of it.
Sure. No, I think it was just, I remember Cedric's speech after we lost to Virginia in the finals. That was super powerful speech from him. Mm. But, you know, I think it was just, they had a lot of the right guys in the lock. They did a great job recruiting. I mean, having a guy like Liam Draxel on your team playing number one and being able to hold down the number one spot year after year after year, I think it really allowed some of the other guys like Diallo and Hurrian and Lapidat to develop their games.
Yeah.
But they were all, like, really good friends. I think they did Cedric and Matt do such a good job of bringing their culture together and bonding the team and, you know, having fun while also working really hard. Like, I think it was just a really tight-knit group, and you know, it was the same way at Ohio State on the teams that we had. It was, you know, Ty does it a little bit differently, but the same thing happened. They were two really like tight locker rooms, and I think that's a huge part of college tennis, and I think the most successful teams are close. The locker rooms, you know, the guys are tight on the team. So
what do you notice about building that chemistry or building that as a head coach now, before we get into your career here at Lincoln so far? How do you develop that, or how do you make them click? I feel like that's such a hard thing to do when you have so many different personalities.
Sure. So I think the first thing that I try and do is try and build a bridge of trust with each player. Each player. Obviously, my situation is really unique. I was assistant for 1 year, interim for 1 year, now head coach.
Yeah.
So most of the guys know me, but I think as the assistant, the players have one relationship with you, and then as the head coach,
it's different.
It's different, but it's still, we're still relationship, and I'm still the same person, and they're still the same person.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you just have to sit down and talk to them, and you know, sometimes you just don't even talk about tennis. You kind of just talk, and you try and build a really good relationship with them, and then You know, the culture is something that I think you build from day one, and we have fun. We work really hard, but we have fun, and the guys have all really bought into what, you know, I think is important.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a really good job of doing all the small things. You know, I know I'm not easy to put up with every day, and they would most certainly get on the microphone and say that for sure. But I think they also appreciate how hard I work.
Good.
And they also understand that I'm young and I'm going to make mistakes. And I tell them that all the time. I'm like, guys, like, I know you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes. But I want them to see that I'm not scared to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make the best decision I can in that moment. And if it's the wrong one, then so be it. But I want them to be able to do the same thing when they go out there. So
it, and that kind of leads into your journey here at Lincoln. You were assistant first, interim, now head. Talk about what it was like to basically be every level of coach here to getting to this head coaching spot.
Yeah, I mean, it like starting at even at Kentucky, I was the volunteer there, so I wasn't paid a salary. I made my living teaching lessons, you know, outside of practice, and I worked really hard there. And then I come here. I'm the assistant for 1 year. Coach Miami Sean, who's the head coach at Michigan now. You know,
same conference still.
Told me he had just accepted the job at Michigan, and I was like, I figured out while I was at Kentucky, really, that I didn't want to be an assistant coach forever. I didn't want to stay in college tennis and just be an assistant. I wanted to really give head coaching a go. I didn't know when that would happen.
Yeah.
And I was just fortunate, I think, to be in the right spot at the right time. And you know, there's so many good coaches out there that are just – they're itching for a chance to be a head coach. And for me to kind of have it presented to me like that, you know, I still had to kind of go through the process and earn it, obviously. But to be a head coach at a Power Four school in the Big Ten Conference here at a school like Nebraska with the fans and the history and the
culture is out of this world.
I really try hard to wake up every day and be like, wow, like this is really cool.
Yeah. And now, what was it when you said something earlier to me with when you became interim and the AD at the time, the AD that hired you as the interim went to A&M, correct?
Yep, Trev Alberts.
And he was, and then a new AD came in and you're the interim coach.
Yep.
So how did that become interim head?
Yeah, so Sean goes to Michigan.
Yep.
The previous athletic director, Trev Alberts, who was a fantastic football player here, played in the NFL. He gave me the chance as the interim.
Yeah.
We had a good relationship. I had a really good relationship with my boss at the time too. And out of nowhere, kind of in the spring, over spring break about a year ago this time, he just took the job at Texas A&M, and I was like, okay, well, this makes things interesting. So we hired a new athletic director, Troy Dannon, who's done an amazing job. And I kind of had to earn my respect with him for the next couple months. And, you know, I think we had a really strong end to our season last year, and it was one of our best years that we've had in some time. And and I ended up being Troy's first hire here at the school. So a little extra pressure,
first hire from the new AD, but it shows a lot of confidence that they have in you, right?
Yeah, sure. And I think that means a lot to me too. You know, he did his, I really truly think he did his due diligence on me, and he asked a lot of questions and wanted to make sure that I was the right person for the job.
Absolutely.
Because this is a special place, and you look around at our facilities and all the resources that Nebraska has, I really don't think there's any schools that are better. There might be schools that might have similar things, but just the whole package here, as you've seen, like it's remarable. And I take that very seriously. So
the number one thing that Peter really wanted me to see here during our facility tour was the dining hall. And when I tell you these student athletes have an amazing, kitchen, they do. I've never seen anything like it, and you'll see it in the facility tour. If you're listening to this or watching this, you'll see it there. So make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel.
Subscribe.
But going back to you, now getting into your coaching, what do you look for in a player that represents Nebraska?
Yeah, so I think it starts just with where you're at and what school you're coaching at and the people there.
Okay.
And I think the people here are blue collar. They're hardworking, you know, the farmer mentality, get up in the morning, grab your cup of coffee, you get out there and you work with your hands. It's physical labor and, you know, just blue collar, tough, loyal people. So, you know, for me, that kind of resonates with me. That's how that, you know, that's how I was raised. That's how I was coached. So I think that, you know, that's something that was important for me when establishing, you know, the type of program we wanted to run here. I think that's something you need to do right away. And then, you know, when you're recruiting players, you're looking for those types of qualities inside of those recruits, you know, and then how can you help them achieve some of their goals as well. So
and for you too, when you go into a practice, because I've had some time here to kind of see your process, individuals, there's a UTR PTT event here, and seeing you watch them and kind of analyze how they work, what's the main goal for you to have these guys focus on when they come to a practice or individual that you work one-on-one with? What should be their mentality coming into it?
Yeah. So we have a team philosophy and, you know, we have like a list of 7 or 8 things on the board there, but that's all we're trying to achieve each day is that team philosophy. Mm-hmm. So whether it's an individual practice, whether it's fitness, whether it's the weight room or team practice, you know, we're trying to come here and do the very best we can. Mm-hmm. As a coach, trying to coach the very best I can. As a player, we're asking them to come and do their very best with whatever they have. So I think if you want to be successful in not just in tennis but in life, you have to be consistent with what you do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's great that you can come and have one great day of practice or I'm coaching great one day. Mm-hmm. You got to be the very best you can each and every day. And my number one job is to hold not only myself accountable but everyone around me. Mm-hmm. Here in the program accountable, the coaching staff, all the supporting staff, all the players, like, hey, like, today's the most important day of the whole year. And that's how I try and approach every day like that. What are we doing today to get better? Are we attacking our team philosophy today? And, you know, did we get better? Our goal really for our team this year is just to improve week after week after week. Yeah. Are we maximizing ourselves? And are we going to look in the mirror when the season's over and say, hey, that's the very best version of this team that we can be? So that's really my philosophy. Obviously, there's so many things that go into coaching these days, you know. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, how do we get these, you know, 9 guys in our team to be the very best they can be each and every day? And that's tough to do. They, you know, they're young men that are still figuring out things in their lives, and they're trying to grow and mature, and things happen here. Tests, you know, something at home. There's lots of things. They might even be upset with me, and my job is to figure out how to get the very most out of them that day. How do I get them to be their very best that day? And it's, you know, it can be tough. You know, they're all different.
Yeah.
They all have different personalities. They all play differently.
Yeah.
They all have, you know, slightly different goals, but at the end of the day, it's my job is to figure out how to get them all to come together and how to get the very most out of them each and every day. So
and for you, is that the hardest part about this job? Because there's definitely a lot of things that can make this job unique, special, but tough. It takes a special kind of person to run your own program in a Power Four, in a Big Ten conference. But what do you think is the thing you challenge the most that can be the hardest thing to do?
Yeah, I think it's just that. It's just waking up in the morning and saying, like, hey, like, I've got to be my very best today. And I can't take a day off because our team can't afford to take a day off.
Yeah.
Like, we have to come and get better. And like I said before, it starts with me, and then it trickles down to Brett and to Shunya. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our strength coach and all the supporting staff, like, you know, sometimes you have to sit down and be like, hey, like, what do we got to do to be better? Mm-hmm. We have, you know, monthly meetings with the whole staff to try and figure out, you know, are we doing this right? Are we doing that right? How are we doing this practice? This person needs more. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to make mistakes along the way with those things. But if you keep trying and you keep demanding the most out of yourselves and then the team, and you know, I feel like you're eventually going to figure out where you need to get to and where you need to go. So
yeah, and with that too, one of the phrases that you told me before we started recording about one piece of advice that stood with you. What was that phrase again?
It's nothing is as important as you think it is while you're thinking about it.
Which is true, because it might be a big deal now, but it's not going to be a big deal later on if you obsess about it. Right? Right.
And that's one of the things that I've learned in just my short time being a head coach is, you know, tennis is an emotional game.
Yeah.
The margins are so small. Look, this can happen, that can happen. You know, the match can flip one way or the other. And, you know, and in that moment, it can feel like it's the most important thing in the world. But I think it's important that you learn how to take a step back, give yourself a chance to breathe and rest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the players need to do that too. And it, maybe talking about the match right at the end of the match isn't always the best thing to do, or how you talk about mm-hmm. the match at the end, you know, is going to really impact what happens next. So I'm not perfect. The guys will tell you that for sure.
Well, no one is perfect. And I think that in tennis too is such a false reality. Tennis is never going to be perfect. Your way of thinking is never going to be perfect. Your coaching's like, perfection doesn't exist in this sport.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I think the guys know that, and they know I'm a young coach. They know that I'm still trying to figure everything out. Mm. And I don't ever come in saying I know everything about this or about that. I want them to be confident.
Yeah.
I want them to trust me, and they know what I'm, and I think that they do.
Yeah.
I can feel it when we're at practice and when they're in the match. I know they're getting better. They can see they're getting better. We're improving as a team, but they also know that I'm gonna, you know, make a mistake from time to time, and I'm not, and it might be a big one, and you know, but at the same time, I know they're also gonna make mistakes, and they also might make a big one. So I think it's important, going back to the quote, like, just take a second and breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a million things going on in the world. You know, there's only, you know, so many people that actually are, you know, are tuned into what's really going on, and in the big scheme of things. Like, what we're doing here is all about trying to grow young men and teach them the right ways to go through life, mm-hmm. and how to build real character. And when tennis is eventually over and they get a degree here, or whatever happens in the next phases of their lives, they're prepared to be great fathers, to be great, you know, husbands, to be, you know, great, you know, continue to be a great family member for everyone, and to... Yeah. To represent Nebraska and themselves well. So
And I think that's what college tennis is about. It's life lessons, not just for tennis, but everything after college, because they got 4 years to, depending on if you still have a COVID year or if you're a redshirt, but that's here or there. But they got a limited time here at a university that tries to make you a better person, and you have to take full advantage of it.
Yep. And I think... You know, I've seen a lot of great universities. I spent a lot of time in universities. I really think Nebraska has so many resources that are just above and beyond. You know, life skills program, all the resources that academics has for our athletes. Mm. You know, athletically, there's everything.
Yeah.
Everything here. So I try and empower them and say, hey, like, go do some of this stuff. Like, you don't realize, like, how important...
How lucky you are.
Lucky, just to have the chance to go and work with a sports psychologist.
Yeah.
They can go work with them every day if they want, like, for free. Like, go do it. Like,
Why wouldn't you?
Go do this stuff. Like, go, at least go try.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think I couldn't have found myself in a better position at this point in my life, working at a better institution.
Yeah.
For, you know, it's with the fan base here in Nebraska, and to be able to kind of build this program, you know, that the way I kind of want to is I still pinch myself, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
So. Man, it's an unbelievable program. It's an unbelievable place. Lincoln is really special, and I just can't believe I'm being a part of it this weekend. And Peter, thank you so much for having us, and good luck for the rest of your season.
Phil, thanks for having me. Don't forget to subscribe.
Subscribe.
And you're always welcome back here, man.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. Perfect. That was terrible. Let's do that again. There. Okay. It was awful.